Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. In just a few weeks, we'll be having the retreat Be the Person You Want to Find, which is a retreat we haven't had in many, many years, and we're quite excited that it's back on the schedule. And I'm joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who has agreed to be with us to talk about her experience of the impact that doing the work of spiritual practice has had for her on relationships in her life. So welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Jen. Thanks.
For being with us.
Oh, it's lovely to be here.
It's a really fun topic. I know for me there's a ton I've seen about it. So I wonder if you might just kind of start by telling us what have you seen over the years about, you know, kind of the impact that doing spiritual practice has had. And I imagine it's, you know, I know for me it's not just relationships, quote, externally, assuming there were such a thing.
But
relationship with ourselves, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, in my experience anyway, it has been easier to see the impact in those, quote, external relationships. And it's been so transformative. You know, when the book Be the Person You Want to Find came out, you know, I devoured it like I do, you know, all of the books. But it tended to make me, I read it with the thought of like a partner or a kind of a romantic relationship and that kind of thing in mind. And what I have realized is that it's all kinds of relationships that that practice really transforms. And that what seems to be the central transformative quality is that it really is about coming to the truest, most compassionate relationship with oneself, and then it can't help but spill over into the relationship with my children or my friends or my extended family and even, you know, life partners and things like that.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking so often, you know, you hear sort of the cliche of, well, you have to love yourself before you can love anyone else. But really, that's the experience of it. I mean, those cliches are there for a reason, that truly, if there isn't a relationship with oneself, there can't be any kind of real relationship with, quote, someone else.
Yeah. And, you know, I just love how the real tangible, how practice, it just is so practical. You know, so can I share a little example about a real life story in this heaven?
Yeah.
So my son is now this big old teenager. He's 18. But when he was turning from a little boy into a teenager, you know, it's around 12, 13 years old, I remember there was this deep sadness in me about, you know, not besides the fact that he was turning into a teenager, it was sort of this loss of his childhood. This is what it felt like. And just through the practice, through getting and kind of looking at that, I noticed there was this child in me who was missing having her playmate. You know, that we used to do stuff together when he was a little boy that he was now losing interest in doing.
Uh-huh.
And so that part of me was feeling sad and feeling, you know, like she was losing something, that little child in me. And because I was able to see that that was what was going on, I was able to be there for her and bring kind of, you know, play with her and give her more attention and all those kinds of things that she used to get those needs met by having a little boy in the family, you know?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And so it was like, oh, how much grief did I save myself by just having that awareness and the tools to take care of that part of me, you know?
And what a huge gift to him.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
You know, I mean, truly, I just, that's such a, because that's a very well-stated illustration of how when we don't have that relationship with ourselves, we're essentially demanding that from the people in our lives. Make me okay.
Yeah.
Had you not been able to see that, I mean, on an unconscious level, of course, with no with no malicious intent, you may have done that to him, sort of had him try to meet that need for you when it was no longer appropriate in his life.
Yeah, stay a little boy, you know, pay attention to me, you know, whatever that might have looked like from, again, coming from a very you know, unintentionally harmful place, you know, but it would have, it really, yeah, it was definitely good for both of us.
And then, of course, you know, people want to be around people like that. So if there you are in your, whether it's with your children or, you know, someone you're intimate with or family or friends, if you're completely taking care of yourself, people want to be around you.
Yeah.
You're available for them.
Yeah. And that's my experience. And not only are you available for them, but we don't get left out in the process. That's the beauty of it all.
It is the beauty. And that, that little part of you really got seen. And, of course, because the other piece of it is, even she would have never gotten that need met by your son. It could have
yeah.
been, you know? It just wouldn't, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So in seeing that, you got to actually meet the need.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it just, oh, gosh, it just evokes so much, gratitude is the word that's coming up, around having the space, the time, the tools, and the community to practice that with. I mean, really, who else talks like this and looks at it like this besides us? I don't know. I've never found anyone else.
Yeah. You know, it's really true, Rebecca. And if I can share one that just came up for me as I was looking at it, is my relationship, for example, with my mother is so 180 degrees since when I started practicing. And I realized recently when I was in a conversation with one of my sisters and the subject of my mom came up, and she spoke so respectfully about my mom in something that was going on, and I realized that, of course, my sister doesn't directly do the practice, but she's very much, she understands it, and she's, you know, mm-hmm. talks with me about it and that sort of thing. But what I realized is, without putting this label on it, we now have the privileged environment around how I am with my whole family. So, you know, it used to be my sisters and I would sit around and talk about, oh, can you believe Mom did that and Mom did this?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do it anymore. We talk about our own experience of the interaction with our mom, and I realize that's a privileged environment, and it's so much more, it's such a more loving, wonderful way to live.
Yeah, and do you suppose it's because of your sort of modeling, or how is it, do you think it's because of how you've been cultivating that, and that sort of caught on, or is
for me, it's a, when I'm interacting with my mom, I'm exactly as you just pointed at, I'm meeting that need for myself first. I don't
mm-hmm.
need anything from her when I go into it. And so in the same way, when I'm talking with my sisters, I always speak from that place. And I do
mm-hmm.
think there's a way in which, you know, without maybe me even needing to state it directly, sort of they get it that I'm not gonna have those conversations anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and so they just sort of hop on board with, so I don't know what the two of them, I have two sisters, I don't know what they do when I'm not
yeah.
in the conversation, but I do know how it is when I'm in the conversation, and I find it, I don't know, it's just such an honoring of everyone in the situation, and I feel like that's really one of the possibilities in the work of, you know, being the person you want to find in the title.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's sort of like that's what you want for your life, to live in that sort of peaceful, respectful, you know, compassionate environment. And so therefore you carry it with you. And not only do you get to live in that all the time, but others get to benefit from that, you know, space too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to underline something you said earlier, which is how fabulous the book is. So even if you can't come join us on the retreat, it's one of those, now we're up to how many books? 20-something books,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So, and the new one, by the way. Wow. That, oh, my goodness. Wow. It's really, really good. And so it's easy to lose the gems along the way, you know, focusing on all the,
mm-hmm.
all the ones that came after. And I recently reread this one, Be the Person You Want to Find. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Oh, I know.
In so many ways. So.
Yeah, it really is. It's so worth going through your bookshelf, pulling it out again, or getting it from, well, and now the beautiful new Keep It Simple website. Because it really, you know, it really does, I mean, I've probably read it like 3 times, and it really brings brings me back and refreshes all of those things that you know on some level and brings them up to the surface again, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, as you're saying that, I'm just looking at how so much of our lives is lived in relationships, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's with the person who's checking us out at the grocery store or our parents or our children or our, you know, whoever it is, so much of our lives is lived in that way. And so it's a very beneficial place to bring practice into.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just, and I don't mean this in a, you know, light sense, a trite way that I'm about to may sound, but it's even transformed my relationship with like AT&T,
yeah.
you know, Apple,
yeah,
Apple Care.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
when I call these places and,
yeah.
and I'm taking care of myself,
yeah.
oh my gosh, it's hugely different.
And again, I just project that so often, such a gift for the person on the other end of the phone that they don't very often receive.
Yeah, yeah. I think I can't prove this, but I think I get better service because of it.
Oh, I'll bet you do. Truly. So, yeah, it just makes life work better all the way around. I'm
it really does.
So it would be fun. Yeah. You know, anyone who can do it, mark your calendar. I should.
Yeah.
Let me see if I have. Yeah, the dates are May 22nd through 26th. Here
mm-hmm.
at the monastery, an unbelievably beautiful time of year to be here. I shouldn't say anything more because I'm going to steal all of Michael's announcements, I'm sure.
Mm. Well, I'll put my plug in for that weekend, too. I mean, it's just going to be a fabulous retreat and a beautiful time to be there. I can't wait.
Indeed. And thanks for being with us this afternoon to talk about it, Rebecca.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was fun.
It was, wasn't it?
You know what I love about... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think I want to do that retreat.
Yeah, me too. But, what I was going to say is that what I love about practice is that it is so universally applicable, you know, to everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, when am I not
uh-huh.
relating to someone? You know, most obviously myself, but as, you know, Rebecca was pointing out there, and Jen, you know, we're always interacting with people and people close to us, people we know, people we, quote, don't know, which I think has to be in quotes because aren't we all the same?
Right. Yeah, whether we're seeing projecting a part of someone that we are not currently recognizing in ourselves or not.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And who do we meet that we don't want to be, the person we want to find? Therefore, if we are that with them, as was pointed out, we at least increase our chances. At least the experience that we have will be the one we want to have.
Yes.
And we hope that it will have a nice result for the other person as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Another one of those win-win-wins we get in
practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as Jen mentioned, that retreat is coming up. It's a Wednesday through Sunday retreat. And folks will explore how karma is played out in interactions with people close to them and have an experience of how we are the love that we seek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this year we've endeavored to have more of those shorter retreats on the schedule because we've heard from people that it's much easier to get away from work and family and all of the other obligations for that kind of shorter period of time. And we just completed one of those, I was really surprised at how spacious it felt and how, you know, it really did feel like having been on retreat for a really long time, not in the, oh, gosh, this is dragging sense, but just in the, you know, it felt like a, you know, whole retreat. And so I'm hoping that people will sort of avail themselves of more of these shorter retreats, because it is hard to get away for 8 days. And so a couple of little four-day ones during the year and get you different subjects, different content, different things to be looking at, practicing with. And, yeah.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. And in addition to that one, the Rest and Be Thankful retreat will also be offered in May at the monastery. It's a tranquil, gratitude-filled weekend retreat. And you'll join the monks for meditation and simple, delicious meals and take time to open your heart to the generosity of life.
Mm-hmm.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to see the schedule, sign up, and all that.
Yeah, that's really a nice little break.
Yes.
You know, Friday evening to Sunday, and, you know, just get completely away into the peace and quiet for a short period of time and go back refreshed.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started.
All right, thank you.
Whoa, first caller, you are now on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth from New York.
Well, hello, Beth. How are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I am doing fantastic.
Good. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Why, I would love to. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for the Visiting Monk program. It was the most transformative time I've experienced.
Mm.
And so supportive. I mean, from absolutely everybody that I came into contact, guidance counselor or guidance people and visiting monk coordinator and just the time spent in the kitchen for the retreatants and being of service there. It was just outstanding to be able to practice with such constant devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And ever-expanding faith and really just putting into practice everything that I've heard over the last 4 years of studying with you and with the monastery. And there was nothing like it when I then came back to my relationship to have my boyfriend tell me that he met someone.
That he... Oh! Oh, dear.
That he met someone, he kissed her, and then he stopped himself and woke up, basically woke up, and chose not to follow his typical karmic pattern, even though he got that far, which is definitely his karmic pattern. But that he woke up and he chose that that was not who he was anymore and not what he wanted to pursue.
Wow.
And the most amazing thing was, and I know that we talked about this while I was at the monastery, was the ability for me to be hurt, scared,
mm-hmm.
anxious, and totally open.
Mm.
To not shutting down and running away and identifying with that part of me that would have just said, this is always how it happens for me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That you could, with the depth of your practice, you could stay there, open, present to both of you.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And we had a really tremendous conversation. He, you know, through me talking about everything that I've learned, you know, he's picked up on conditioning and self-hate and the voices, you know, he's picked up and he was able to clearly explain to me exactly when the voices took over, you know, how he woke
mm-hmm.
up, how self-hate came in, and he watched, you know, he watched it all play out.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was other karmic stuff that he still reacted to, but in the long and short of it, you know, he knew that he had to talk to me about it, and that he didn't want to choose that path anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a great example to me of how, and it kind of goes back to what Rebecca and Jen were talking about, how our practice informs, right? So you're not proselytizing, you're not trying to teach him anything, you're not anything. He's just watching you practice, and it sounds like being open to talking with you about what's going on with your practice and that sort of thing. And through that, he's actually practicing. He's taking it in and applying it in a way that when things came right down to the wire for him, he was able to make a choice for himself against karmic conditioning and self-hate.
Exactly. And for me then, after I heard that, I was in an expansive place for about 24 hours, and then conditioning took over for the next 2.5 days, where all I did was just record and listen, read the books that I got. All I did was practice, basically. You know, every step I took, I was like, okay, Beth's walking to the grocery store right now. Let's stay with Beth, you know. And I would sing, there's that song, You Are So Beautiful. I would sing it to myself. And I just, you know, that ability to really solidify the relationship with myself that I felt at the monastery about total, unconditional, compassionate love is what made the difference. You know, exactly what those guys were saying on the radio show.
And the thing that I want to underline about that, because earlier today I had a conversation with someone who described something very, very similar, different content, but said, you know, I was as identified as I've probably ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you have the tools available to take yourself through that and out the other side, to know, in your case, that what you don't want to do is what conditioning wants us to do, which is to rant and rave at him until the relationship is completely destroyed, not to take it out on you through
right.
any kind of self-destructive behaviors that might be lurking and ready to come forward, but to
right.
use the tools of practice, to know that that's what you're doing. I am really identified here, and
exactly.
I just need to stay with myself doing the things I know how to do until I come out the other side, which I will do.
Exactly. And I would say that to him. I'm like, I'm going to go do this now. You know, I need to go record and listen. I'm going to, you know, make sure I get out and I see other people and I have exercise and I have communication and I'm going to call friends and I'm going to... And, you know, he was very supportive of that, too, and understood it. Now, in
mm-hmm.
a strange twist of events, I ended up meeting this woman, and she's a yoga teacher also, and we ended up talking, and I started talking about Buddhism, and she was very fascinated about that. And I said, well, here, look at this book, Be the Person You Want to Find, because her karmic pattern was to fall for unavailable men.
Perfect.
And she had recognized it. I gave her the book, and she looked at the logo, and she goes, I have this on my iPhone. And I said,
you have
transformed your life on your iPhone? And she goes, yeah, I see the quotes every single day. I've had it for like the last 2 months.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I sure jumped out.
I was like a Twilight Zone moment.
It was kind of a Twilight Zone moment, and I felt real compassion for all three of us at that point.
Yeah.
There was just total compassion that we had all been caught in this karmic, whatever you want to call it, rabbit hole,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that we were able to come out. Now, long story short, and I don't want to stay too long, I'm still practicing every single day, and that's exactly what I need. We have found a certain level of intimacy, my boyfriend and I, in our relationship that has just been transformative also. I still can't tell you where it's going to go. And I just got off my guidance appointment right before this, and it and the guidance I was given was, you know, the path that you will walk will arise when it arises, and to have that faith, you know, not to go into conditioning, I need to break up with him, you know, I can't trust him, or I've got to be okay with this and show him that I'm, you know, able to handle all this, not to go either way, but to stay.
Just right here, this breath, right now, conscious, here, compassionate, kind, loving, this breath, right here, right now.
And this human.
We don't know.
And this human. And understanding that this human has certain beliefs that are still very strong about love and sex and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But that's not what has to guide
everything. That's right. Yeah. That's not what we're following. And as you say, I mean, it's critical, because in a dualistic world, what the choice that we're given is either do everything the way you've been conditioned to do it, so all those beliefs and assumptions and projections and behaviors, or flip to the other side of those. Right? And that's, we're not doing that either. So it's not, I need to stay with him no matter what he does. I need to break up with him right now. No, those are not our choices. I need to stay present and breathe right here, right now, and let life inform.
Thank you so much. Exactly. And just to be with myself in that total unconditional love, you know, the whole
way. Absolutely.
And that's been a tremendous gift. And I want to, again, thank you and all the monks. And
let me see if I have this right, Beth. You recommend the Visiting Monk program.
I'll be back in October.
Very good.
and I would recommend it, I mean, by hook, by crook, by, I don't care how you get there.
No matter how conditioning is stuck in the, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, not with a gun at my head resistance.
Exactly. In fact, it was tough to call tonight. In a way, it was kind of tough to call, and I just, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
This is the first
time. Very good.
So.
All right. Well, great to hear from you, Beth.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Good night.
And Michael, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open It. That was fascinating, Sherry.
Uh-huh. I love the application of practice.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we talk so much about practice and the, you know, the this's and the that's and the, but to see people really applying the tools and techniques and going through those kinds of experiences that we all are conditioned to believe, you know, I can't stand it. I couldn't stand that. It's very inspiring.
Yes, it was for me. Absolutely. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Julianne.
Hey, Julianne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Haven't heard your voice in a while.
I know. but I've been here.
Good.
Yes. I've been practicing.
Excellent.
But definitely been getting talked out of calling. And actually, I tried several it's a popular show, so I was also having a hard time getting it.
All right, good. Well, what's going on?
I'm having so many breakthroughs. And I just wanted to call and because I know I knew that it would be great for me to do so, to touch in. And I'm a little overwhelmed. I wanted to report that I'm just floored by how much I'm learning, and I guess I could share an example. I am doing the awareness coaching, which I highly recommend.
Oh, good. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I tried an exercise for the first time. This is surprising that I've never done this before, but I had never done the two chair exercise before.
Uh-huh.
And it's
a good one, isn't it?
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Would you say a little bit about it? Just because there are probably people out there who don't know what we're talking about. So if you describe how it was for you and what you were doing and that sort of thing, that'd be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You sit down and as if the empty chair were your mentor and speak to your mentor about whatever. What I did was I spoke to my mentor about a piece of content that has recycled itself back around, and I talked to my mentor about the challenges I was having and asked questions about how I could move forward with it, and then I moved to the other chair and sat for a moment in silence, and then the mentor's voice came up very readily and oh my gosh, came up with the most amazing ideas and just the most encouraging and compassionate, and I mean just everything I would want to hear.
Kind and wise.
Mm-hmm. Kind and wise, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I went back and forth like that, and then it was truly something, amazing. And then I put it into practice right away, right after that session. Put the ideas into practice, and basically, it had to do with painting. I feel like I talk about this incessantly when I do call.
Well, it is what you do. So
yeah,
there
it is. So, what the mentor told me was, there's a part of me that gets bullied into, being afraid of the process and being talked out of it, and it just makes conditioning is trying to make it really unpleasant.
Yeah.
And it's not always that way, but it's something I love, and it's. So, my mentor told me,
just right there, right? That, I mean, that's something for all of us. It's really good just to take in and remember what conditioning goes after is what we love.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because that's where the maximum suffering is for us, and so that's what it attempts to destroy for us. So, yes, it would go after that.
Mm-hmm. And while I realize that that I can use anything, well, it reminded me. My mentor reminded me that because one of the things I told my mentor when I was talking about art was I said, but you know what I really love is spiritual practice. That's my true love in life. And my mentor reminded me, well, art is practice, and it's just, so that was, I do love art. I don't have to,
It's your vehicle.
Right.
It's an intimate relationship that acts as a mirror for you in your practice.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And And she said, you know, and you don't even have to do any of the art. Let me do it because I love doing it. And she said,
my.
Yeah. She said, just let me do it. And, you know, she said she was proud of me. She assured me that it was okay that I was still, you know, pursuing art as my career, and that you know, she can handle all the, she'll do it all, and because she loves it, and that I could pretty much ride on her coattails and just feel the love.
Wow.
And the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Just that my mm-hmm. job was just to be happy.
Uh-huh. Just let life flow through you. And
mm-hmm.
she'll handle all the resistance and all the karmic conditioning and the self-hate that would want to come in. Because it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't affect her, because
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't affect her. And besides which, with this particular content, she loves to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
I know. I was like, wow, it was so great. And so then I went upstairs and I started painting in my studio, and I had this really neat experience of being the mentor painting, and then there's a subpersonality of mine who loves to help and is really good at doing things for other people and being really extra good at, you know, doing
mm-hmm.
a great job at helping other people. And so I was like the painter's assistant. There's a part of me that was the painter's assistant.
Uh-huh.
And there was and she did all the stuff that whoever normally paints hates to do. Like,
uh-huh.
But was thrilled to do it. So it was like you've told me before, to bring the team of
uh-huh.
people. It was
uh-huh.
just a great sub-personality workshop.
Well,
with
and
the mentor being
and again,
present.
Yeah, and again, it's so good for all of us, because we all have somebody
yeah.
who really wants to do everything that life calls upon us to do.
Uh-huh.
And so much of resistance and karmic conditioning is, trying to throw the monkey wrench in the works by getting
mm-hmm.
the wrong person there at the right time. So with that, yeah, you've got somebody who wants to help, somebody who loves to paint,
mm-hmm.
and yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was such an energetic, fun experience. And, I mean, not that I haven't had a fun, energetic, this was just, you know, something different. I mean, this was a,
yeah.
this was a, using tools consciously, putting them in place, working on, it was just the coolest thing.
And as you like to say, it's that reminder that practice works.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
it sure does.
So,
wow.
I had one curiosity question,
mm-hmm.
And I hope the answer is yes. So when you were doing the two chair exercise, did you
mm-hmm.
have the recorder on?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really good, because otherwise we can get so into it that we, you know, we don't realize that when this exercise is over, I might want to hear
mm-hmm.
again what that mentor had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring sympathy to the person who is struggling. So have that recorder on there and immortalize it.
Yeah,
that's fabulous.
It was awesome. And then I recorded and listened about the experience, and so it's all outstanding. Yeah.
It's all coming together beautifully.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I love mm-hmm. it. I love it. Well, I'm glad you got through tonight.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah.
And everything has been so inspirational so far. And I mean, as the calls always are. But, yeah, so I'm very glad to be a part of it. Thank you so
good.
Much for everything.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Julianne. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Sandy from Florida. Hi.
Well, hello, Sandy. How are you?
Well, I'm calling because I'm in trouble. I need help.
Oh, what's going on?
Well, I'm inundated by the voices. They're chewing me up and spitting me out, and I'm suffering terribly. Basically, what's happening is that, kind of the overview, I have a beautiful, incredible, wonderful life, and I've been retired for 5 years, and I live in this amazing, beachy, gorgeous place where the weather's incredible all the time, and yet I find myself working myself to death, as in working, as in quotation marks, because I don't work. I volunteer. And then I live in a community, and I'm their social director, and I don't ever, or I should say the voices don't give me a chance to breathe. And my family and my friends have been saying, you need to slow down. You need to, you know, you're just too busy. And I've had friends say, you know, you're too busy to get together. And then I went to give blood last week, and they wouldn't accept my blood because my blood pressure was too high and my iron was too low. And so now I'm starting to have physical symptoms of overdoing it, and I'm in trouble. I've been listening to the song for so long that I don't know how to get out. I don't know which way to go.
Okay. Well, good. Fortunately, we have some practice tools, right, that are going to, So let's start with this one. So what would you advise your sister, your best friend, your daughter, your whatever, who just told that story? What would you say?
Oh, that is so unfair.
I know. It's rotten, but
I can help other people. I can't help myself. So, okay, so I would advise them to think about the things that I've learned in practice, that, you know, that there is a person inside of me that needs to be loved and cherished and cared for. And and so in order to love and cherish and care for me, I know that I need to make some choices about all of the times that I can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Mm-hmm. To go even deeper than that, Sherry, because that really, that's the one that just smacks me over the head when I get a chance to breathe. But deeper than that, I'm kind of wondering what I'm running away from. I mm-hmm. feel on a much deeper level that the voices are keeping me so incredibly busy because there's a chance there's something in there I might find out.
Mm-hmm. Like...
I don't know. I struggle to accept myself and care for myself, and so perhaps it's something like I'm worthy of being cared for.
Perhaps. Let me ask you this.
I'm ready.
Do people seem to like you?
Yes.
Okay. And in fact, we could go so far as to say there's a pretty large circle of people who love you.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that that's what the voices don't want you to slow down enough to take in.
Oh. Poof.
So
brand new thought.
Yeah, they always want to present it. So there's this thing that I've always called the cesspool theory of psychology, and that is you can't look inside because deep down there's something horrible and slimy and disgusting down there, and you know, and so you just can't look there. But the voices want us to believe, of course, that there's something about us, and there isn't, and there never is. But what the something is that they really don't want us to catch on to is that we are deserving of love and kindness.
Well,
and we don't have to earn it.
Yeah, I do. I know how ridiculous that sounds, but the voices have me so convinced that I do need to earn it, that I need to be of service, and I need to be a helper, and I need to give of myself in order to be the good person that I want to be the person I want to be.
That's right. And if you ever found out that that's not true, that people actually love you because and value you and appreciate you because of who you are, not because of what you do, then your whole life is going to change, and those voices are going to lose their ability to control you.
Well,
and that's all. That's actually all that's going on. So here's the next check-in.
Okay.
If you were to say to the people in your sphere, would you prefer that I work myself to death in order to prove to you that I'm a good person and I care about you?
Well, clearly, of course, they would say no.
That's right. And so are they going to feel good when you work yourself, stress yourself to the point that eventually you have a stroke or heart attack or something and fall over dead? Do you think that let's go with your family and friends and that sort of thing. Are they going to feel pretty good about what a good person you were?
No.
No. So, you see, we cannot make any arguments for what those voices are doing to you, right?
No, I can't.
No, they're just bogus and hateful. But, of course, again, you know this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. What they're living off of is your attention.
Mm.
And if they can control you in this way, they've got your attention all the time. So it's not, I'm sure you're doing wonderful work all day long every day, but you don't get to take that in. You don't get to enjoy it or feel good about it. You're just on to the next thing, the next pressure, the next obligation, the next commitment, right? So
absolutely,
it's not,
yeah.
You're not even earning anything. Because if you were earning anything, then you would get to just, bask. You could just, lie there in your beach chair and enjoy people's appreciation of you. But you never get to do that.
Yeah. Well, actually, in my best year yet this year, I put that on Sundays I would choose a beach day, and I would go once a week. And so far I've been very successful. But I have a
very
list
good.
Of things that I want to do every day related to practice, and I'm even crossing off meditation. Okay, I meditated today. Cross that off.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
like
so your practice is now a to-do list.
It is.
Okay.
And I don't want it to be.
No. And so here's the deal, okay? What we're down to at this point, because nobody can make any arguments for the way you're being controlled and the way you're having to live. No sane person is going to say it's a good idea. So it's down to compassionate self-discipline. Yeah, it's
more.
A flat out, I am, so you're going to come up with a life plan that will work for you on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, okay, that has everything in it that takes care of you, including being of service to others, okay, so it's a good life, right? Everything that would constitute a good life. And then the work is going to be to keep it.
I totally agree with everything you're saying, but I don't know how to make it happen. Like,
well,
I know
actually,
how to make
actually
it
you do, Sandy. Actually, you do. You do know how to make it happen the same way you keep Sundays for yourself.
I just do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You just do it. And is this going to be harder? Oh, my goodness. I mean, those voices are going to come at you. You think they've been on you. You ain't seen nothing compared to the way they're going to come after you to stop you from changing your life in this way that it sounds like is about what the only thing that's going to guarantee that you have a life for much longer.
yes, they tell me that I'm selfish and that, you know, I could be helping other people. Instead, I'm sitting here relaxing in the sun, and, you know, they mean things to me.
Of course they do. And so, as you know, that's job one, right? Job one is just to turn your attention away and stop listening to them. They hate you and they're trying to kill you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's true, right? So your blood pressure is through the roof, and you having all these other physical symptoms, and they want you to keep doing what you're doing. No.
Yeah.
No,
I'm laughing because it sounds insane. It's absolutely ridiculous that I am a grown person sitting here on the phone saying these things to you.
Yeah. Well, when they get us, they really get us. And they get us isolated in this little world called our head. And they know exactly what to say and exactly how to torture and make you feel bad and make you believe it. And then once we get on a kind of a roll with them, it's really hard to bring it to a stop. So, you know, big congratulations and appreciation for the fact that you picked up the phone and called.
Well, I have to go back to the doctor's tomorrow. It's a high motivator. The voices will have nothing to torture if I keep this up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 Okay. So you've got your assignment, right?
I do. Job one, turn my attention away. After all,
That's
they
right.
hate me, and they're trying to kill me.
That's right, which we've established. Right?
Yeah.
They're trying to talk you into doing something that your doctor is saying, if you keep going in this way, then you're going to die. And they are trying to make you believe that some sort of service to other people is more important than you staying alive. And you would not say that to anybody else on the face here, so therefore you cannot be the one exception. I won't allow it, okay? So
I would go with you.
All right. So then when you get off the phone this evening, just, you know, in a leisurely fashion, you make out a schedule for yourself. What time would you like to get up in the morning? How much time do you need to do the things that take care of you? You've worked hard all your life. This is what you worked hard all your life in order to have, time and space to do these things that you want to do. So how much time do you need for that? And then, you know, with whatever else you've got going in your life, family and friends and that sort of thing. And then there's a service component, right? And so you look at what can you do every day that would be a contribution of participation in the larger community of beings, okay? And you get that on there, and maybe that's between, you know, 2 and 4 every afternoon. You do something that's service-oriented. And then you come home and you walk on the beach or whatever it is. And then Sundays is your beach day, right?
Yep.
So you make it as well-rounded and as kind to the human as you could possibly do, and then you're going to let me know what it is, all right?
My schedule.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I already the voices are saying between 2 and 4. I can't meet everybody's needs between 2 and 4.
That's right. And so, you know what? Here's the deal. This is the good news about being a human being. Every one of us has needs, and every one of us has the ability to meet our own needs. Okay? We want everything under the sun.
Right.
But want and need are two very different things, as you know. So each one of us, you know, the Buddha's clever way of saying it, we must each work out our own salvation diligently.
Yes.
Yeah? So
yes.
So whatever it is that you want to do between 2 and 4 that makes your 9/11, whatever works for you. But it's going to be a percentage of your day, not your whole day.
Thank you.
All right, so you're going to let me know what it is, right?
I can
and
do
then
that.
We're going to provide, we're going to arrange and set up and organize a lot of support for you being able to keep that schedule. Because if you keep that schedule for a month, Sandy, you'll never go back to the bad old days of dying for those voices.
Dying for the voices. Well put. Thank you so much.
Oh, You're welcome. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air. Well, that was exciting, Sherry.
Sometimes I just have to browbeat people, you know. You know, it's a good thing that one of the main things in my skill set is nagging. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a program we can all take on. So it's great.
Yeah. Boy, it's just, we all know that place of just getting so backed into the corner with those voices that they're the only thing we're hearing and they are what we're believing. And thank goodness, you know, when it comes together for us to be able to reach out and get another perspective and to hear from Sangha and get some support for ourselves. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to hear an important message and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jay calling from Portland.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Michael. I'm doing really great. It's a beautiful sunny day here.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Well, what's going on?
Well, mostly I wanted to call because I've sort of been doing an experiment for the last year, and the experiment is, does practice work if you don't do it? And I've kind of learned that it doesn't work.
Isn't that astounding? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Huh. So,
yeah,
what have you concluded now?
Well, I mean, the sad thing is that you start to think that maybe it doesn't work at all, even if you do it. It's hard to remember just how much it does work. So I'm kind of at that point of thinking, all right, I really just, I guess that's the point I'm at. You know, I definitely want to commit and start doing it again. But I just thought I'd call and talk to you about that and maybe get some encouragement.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we have so many examples of what you're saying. So I go to the gym and I work out and I'm really fit. I'm strong and fit and, you know, and then I think, well, I wonder though, I mean, you'd probably be fit without, you know, all this working out. And then about a year later, I look in the mirror and go, maybe not. Yeah. So I'm going to eat really healthy. And then, oh, let's spend a year just eating junk and whatever and see how healthy I am. So it's just constant. The reminders that we have that we get what we do. And practice is certainly no exception.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it is funny, though. It seems more obvious in other parts of my life, but somehow with practice, I'd like to think that somehow I just sort of work at meditating and being aware and then somehow become a better person that doesn't need it anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not that that's what I think that I should be doing. I mean, I don't necessarily believe that. There's just a feeling of that or something that, you know, places would want me to believe.
Yeah. Karmic conditioning would really like to have us believe that. But when we break it down, it's kind of silly because it's like, well, I want to be aware for a while, and then I'll get to the point where I don't have to be aware anymore, and then I won't be aware. Now, how is that going to work? You know, if I'm not aware, I'm not going to be aware. It's not like it's going to be something that is going to be permanent, because it's something that we have to participate in. We have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
and
not
it's,
that
it's
we
not even
do you. Awareness, but we do have to pay attention in order to be in awareness.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense to me. And it's not even that I don't enjoy it when I'm doing it, but just thinking it's just the experience of falling out of it and then needing and wanting to get back into it, and just at that point of thinking, that's just where that's where I'm at. And in ways it's obviously exciting, but then in other ways it's that feeling of, well, yeah, this is just something you have to do. It doesn't just, you can't just get those good feelings and being aware. It's just funny that
and
way.
And I think it's really important, too, to keep in mind that they're two very different experiences, right? So egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, does not want you to be aware, does not want you to practice, period. And anybody who has taken up practice knows that. In fact, anybody who's tried to do anything that serves them knows that. So again, you want to be fit, you want to eat better, you want to get enough sleep, anything. The resistance to it is just enormous, right? And that in you that wants to be aware, that wants to be fully alive and enjoy life, be present for it, that's a very different experience from the resistance of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. So watching the interplay of those two is important, interesting, can be fun if you aren't taking the voices seriously. Yeah. But again, with anything, I run and then I don't. I take a year off from running. Well, I mean, the first time you go out there and decide to run, you think you're going to die. But after you've been doing it for a while, it feels really good. You want to do it. You love to do it. In fact, if you injure yourself, it's not a, oh, thank God, I don't have to do that anymore. It's painful. It's hard. It's an adjustment. So we know that the process works that way, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's a really good thing to think about. And I guess, too, I was thinking that, if you say, well, practice doesn't work if you don't do it, but it does work if you do it. And that's just a really exciting statement. I could,
yes.
And just to remember that.
And it's even better than that. It's the people who say, I don't know why my life works when I practice, because it doesn't seem like meditation has anything really to do with the rest of my life. The thing I know is when I meditate, my life works, and when I don't, it doesn't. So I'm just going to do it because I know my life works. And I do.
Yeah. I know. I like that, too. You don't have to have a big explanation of why it works if you just have the experience of it working.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You get right. All the magic and the miracles, and, what's the explanation for that? Well, we don't know, but really, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to show up for the magic and the miracles.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to call and say that, and I'll call back and hope, have some good news next time I call
good.
Around that. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything you do on practice, and thank you too, Michael.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. And here's the deal. Even if it's not particularly good news, call for the support.
Okay.
Because it's big and it's tough, and those voices are so nasty. And, yeah, so... Call.
I definitely will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks, Sherry. All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jay. You're listening to Open Air. Thanks for that pep talk, Sherry, that reminder. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. We do need reminders because, boy, what we're up against is tough. It really is. It's just, you know, it's one of the things I wish people were more cognizant of, that what we're going up against is huge, and it's not personal, and we don't need to feel bad that it's hard, but just to acknowledge that it's hard, you know, just lifetimes of yuck that we're trying to clear away in order to see and realize what we are and what's possible for us, what's available to us, to have the strength and the courage to show up and claim our lives. It's huge what we're doing. So, in fact, in the retreat that we just finished on Sunday, some people were talking about, you know, we talk about gratitude lists, which are marvelous things to make and record, and talking about at the end of the day, recording all the successes. And if we were to do that, we would begin to get a sense of what good work we're doing, first of all, and just how challenging this work is.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful.
We're lucky to be doing it together.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Sherry, it's about 3 minutes to the hour. Would you like to talk with another caller?
No. I mean, I'd love to talk to another caller, but I'm afraid we would just get into something and then that would be that. And then we would say, call back next week, and the chances that they would ever get through would be slim to none. And so we'll just, how about if we just say goodnight on this note and pick it up next week.
Fabulous. Thank you. It was great tonight.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Michael. I did too. Talk to you next week.
Good night.
Bye.